In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many times we look at this miracle, and we look at it in awe, and how God created food, both bread and fish, for these people to eat. And actually, this miracle was the only miracle that was mentioned in all of the four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. And we look at it, and it's repeated, you know, the four times, so it must be some significance, or it must be of great significance. So we look at this great miracle, and oftentimes, as we do with most other passages in Scripture, we start to think to ourselves, where do I relate in this passage? Who do I relate most to? Do I relate to the people that are sitting on the grass? Do I relate to the disciples? Do I relate maybe to the young boy that offered the five loaves and the two fish? Who is it that I relate to most? But one thing they all have in common is that they all came and they were following Christ. They came after him. Whether it be the people, the boy, or the disciples, all of them were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us who are gathered here together, we all are coming to church following the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come and partake of my body and my blood. So we come and gather together to partake of his body and blood as he instructed us to. So all of us who are here together, why is it that we came, or why is it that we come? There was a statistic in 2005, and it was published in the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion. And the authors Hadaway and Marler found that of all Christians in the United States, only 17.7% of them actually attended church. So all of us here are among those 17.7% that came to church. Of us that are coming to church, are we coming to seek the Lord, or are we coming to serve the Lord, maybe like the disciples, and maybe like the young boy who offered the five loaves and the two fish? Are we coming to seek, or are we coming to serve? Now, I'd like to focus in on the service part, but before I do that, I want to mention that seeking the Lord is definitely a good thing. And it's a required thing, and it's a thing that was commanded to us by God. The psalmist says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So those of us who don't want to lack any good thing, seek the Lord. It's good. Also, he says in Psalm 105, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. So seek him all the time, is what we're asked in the Psalms. And also the Lord on the Sermon on the Mountain told us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. So it puts our priority as being the first is to seek him. But seeking him is a necessary step, yes, but it's not the last step. Seekers of God typically go to him, or go to, anytime we seek anything, we go to it or proceed forth to it to receive something. If I seek a higher position at work, I'm seeking maybe greater compensation, greater honor, whatever it might be. If I'm seeking a husband or a wife, sometimes we seek somebody to serve us or somebody to maybe compliment me and do the things that I cannot do. Sometimes when we seek, you know, a higher education, or seek to get, you know, a good grade, I go to class seeking that I might get a good, you know, a good grade, a high GPA, and therefore go to the college of my choice. So oftentimes when we seek, we often come in with a mindset of receiving. But oftentimes these things that oftentimes we go into these things wanting to receive, but soon we realize that only success can come when we actually truly serve. If we seek a high position at work, If you get that high position and you manage that high position in an authoritative manner and not in a service manner, guess what? In all likelihood, you won't be successful. If you go into a marriage seeking of how can I be served in this marriage, not how can I serve my spouse, if we're seeking to receive in marriage, guess what? The marriage will in all likelihood fail. So success actually comes when we seek. Success comes when we actually serve. So again, I ask, why are we gathered here today? To seek or to serve? Serving is our assignment from God that He instructed us to do. It's our task, is to serve. And actually, this is the reason why God created us in the first place, was to serve Him. He says, St. Paul says in Ephesians, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we were created to serve. No, God didn't create us because He was lacking some kind of service. Some people must say that, okay, if God created us to serve Him, yani, that's kind of selfish. He just wanted us to serve Him. Actually, He had the angels before He even created us. So He didn't create us in order to serve Him. So why did He create us? God created us to offer to us the honor and the glory to serve Him. He created us to bestow upon us this honor and glory of being counted among those worthy to serve Him. If you think about it, I don't know how many of you guys were here when the Pope came. I think it was, what, 2004? I think in 2004. I can imagine what maybe the coordinators of the deacons were going through. I'm sure the parents were like, I want my son to serve in the altar when the Pope is here. I'm sure there were like three times the amount of deacons that are here. Why? Because the Pope is here. We want to be able to serve alongside the Pope. Now, we compare that back to our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's an honor for us to serve next to Him. It's an honor for us to be counted among those worthy to serve Him. So He created us, not that He is lacking service, but He created us to participate in the glory and honor of His service. And just as all of us love to be associated with those of great honor, same goes when we love to be associated with our Lord Jesus Christ. God also did not only create us to serve Him, but He also saved us to serve Him. So created us is one thing, but then to come down to bear our suffering and our sin and grant us eternal life, this saving process He did in order for us to serve Him and to serve our brethren. St. Paul says to his disciple Timothy, he says, "God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." So he says, who has saved us and called us to His holy calling. So He saved us in order for us to serve them. And if you look at some of the righteous men and women in the Bible, we see how God saved them from a particular situation, and what was their response to this salvation was they served Him. We look at somebody like Moses. Moses, God saved him when he killed the Egyptian from the threats and the penalty of this murder that he did. He saved him from the influence of the Egyptians. And when he fled Egypt and went to the desert of Haran, there he met the Lord, and then he accepted the invitation to come back and serve Him. So first God saved him, and then He served him. Matthew the tax collector, God saved him from this disgraceful position among society. People that back then didn't like the tax collectors. Many, oftentimes the same way that we don't like Uncle Sam. We don't like this season, and we don't like April 15th. And God saved him from this disgrace, from having a bad, image before everybody, and took him and made him a disciple. What did he do? Oh, thanks God, I'm good. Thank you. No, but he turned around and served him, And as history tells us, he was also martyred for the sake of the Lord. So those who were saved turn and serve. And also, even those who weren't direct apostles and messengers of Christ, the same thing. If we read about Saint Simon's wife's mother, so his mother-in-law, it says that she was taken with a sickness, and the Lord stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. Then what happened after she was cured? What happened? She arose and served them. So she was saved from this disease, and what happened? She returned and served them. And also, of course, you can't forget Saint Paul. Saint Paul, by the law or the standard of the time, he was a righteous, he was among the best of his peers. When God saved him from his erroneous ways and told him that he was persecuting God, he turned his way. And what did he do? He thanked him, yes, but then what? Did he just, you know, blend into the background? No. But he served the church and is, I guess we can say, he's the greatest of all the apostles. He single-handedly preached Christianity to all of the Mediterranean area. So God saved us and created us to serve him. One thing we have to realize too, people might say, but Abuna, service isn't for me. I wasn't called to be a servant. Actually, Scripture doesn't give us an option to serve. The Scripture tells us that we are commanded to serve. It's not an option. It says in Matthew chapter 20, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." For Christ himself didn't come to serve, didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. So as Christians, whether we think we're called or not to serve, we are called and instructed to serve. It's a commandment by God. Yes, some have their services, you know, in the church and in its order. These are the apparent services. And some have their services that aren't seen. The services of the family, the services of taking care of the church, the service of ministering to the poor, the needy, and the sick. These services aren't seen. But I'll tell you, the services that aren't seen have a greater reward because nobody knows them except God the Father. The services that are here and everybody sees us and Abuna this and Abuna that and Shemesh this and Shemesh that, we oftentimes get our reward from the people. But the service that is not seen has the greatest reward. So we're not told anywhere in Scripture that we can just believe in God and sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. He never tells us that. And God never gives us any talents or any blessings or any gifts so that we can store them up here on earth. But he gives us these things to store them up in heaven. So we see how God gives us these gifts here on earth and these talents on earth. So we need some kind of method to transform this earthly currency to a heavenly currency. What is this transformation? What is this exchange? The place where we do this exchange, it is service. Just like when you go from America to Egypt or whatever a country you're going to and you don't have the money, the first thing you see in the airport when you get down is the money exchange, the currency exchange. And you go there, you give them your dollars and you get pounds or whatever it is, the currency that they use. So God gave us talents here on earth, and the exchange, the place where we do this exchange, is service. We take what was given to us on earth and we invest in heaven with it. So how do we serve? We can serve God with the sacrifice of praise by just standing up in the morning and evening to pray to him, to praise him, to give him glory for what he has done in our life, in the life of our family, and in the church itself. We give glory to him that is due him. The psalmist says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." So the lifting up of hands in the evening is as a sacrifice to the Lord. It's a prayer. It's a service that we do to the Lord. Edifying one another through the assembly. Just coming to one another being among each other in the church is a service in itself. The Saint Paul tells the Hebrews, he tells them, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So he said, consider one another, and let's stir up good works and love among each other, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So let's stir up this love and these good works by gathering together with one another, encouraging each other. It's much more encouraging when a group of us go and do a service or come and worship than for us to do it by ourselves. It's much more encouraging. And we feed off of each other's encouragement. And he continues, says, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he says, so much more that you see the day approaching. So we encourage each other not to come to worship, but also to come to worship and encourage each other, but keeping in mind the end. Keeping in mind the day, this capital D is approaching. So we keep in mind each other's salvation. We encourage each other for spiritual practices. We encourage each other to gather together, partake of the Eucharist. And in doing this, this is a service. So just us showing up on Sundays is a service. And, I oftentimes you hear people say, you ask them, why didn't you come to church? I was there. كنت متابع على الانترنت, or I was with you. I was streaming you online, and I could see you. Streaming online is something completely different than being here among the body of those who are present. This is kind of like a virtual presence that's not really there. It's maybe an illusion or a delusion, maybe that Satan is tricking us, saying that this is acceptable form of worship. It's actually more compared, to something you'd watch on TV or YouTube, more of entertainment. Yes, you hear sermons and things like that, but are you really praying? Are you involved? Are you encouraged with all the other believers here? And of course, you don't partake of the Eucharist. So, how do we serve? We serve by praising Him. We serve by just coming to church and being among each other in whatever services that we're involved in. Also, we pray for one another is a service. Praying for one another, St. James tells us, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man, a righteous person avails much. What if we had several righteous people praying for us? If one avails much, how much more many? It'd be great. So we can serve by praying for one another. And also, we can serve God by partaking of the Eucharist. We serve Him. Most of us, we come and we think that we're being served. Yes, we're being served, but we also reciprocate that service and serve God by partaking of the Eucharist. St. Paul tells us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. So just us partaking of the Eucharist, we proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. And as we say in the liturgy, that we partake of the Eucharist and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. We say that. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the ages to come. So we look at the death, and we look at His cross. It makes us think of the cross. And the next part is at the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. It makes us think of eternity. So, we both, in partaking of the Eucharist, we proclaim with a loud voice our participation in the Lord's death and His resurrection. And this is a type of preaching. This is a type of witnessing to the Lord. This is a type of service when we just come and partake of the Eucharist. And if you notice, all of the things that I said, whether it be praising God, whether it be of just assembling together, whether it be of praying for one another or partaking of the Eucharist, this is something that requires very little talent or no talent at all. This is something that can be done from the greatest to the least of us. Every one of us can do these four things, and this is a type of service. It requires no pre-qualifications, doesn't require any training, no degree, no significant age, The young, the children, and the old can do this. But it's important to note as well, author Rick Warren said, what matters is not the duration of life, but the donation of it. So it's not how long we live, but how much we donate of our life to God and to our brothers. It's not how long we live, but in the lifespan, how much of this life did we spend serving God? How much did we spend serving each other? This is what really is going to matter. This is going to be our exchange rate. The place where we exchange is service. And if we look at it in any particular service, you have many excuses. Let me give you some of the excuses of those in Scripture and see and recall maybe to yourself what God did with them despite their excuses. Abraham was old, but he made him a father of many nations. Moses had a speech impediment. He stuttered. He made him a deliverer for the people of Israel and part of the Red Sea. Leah was unattractive, but the Lord blessed her first and blessed her to be the mother of some of the children of Israel. Joseph was abused and an outcast, and God made him a savior of the people of Israel and of Egypt. Jonah was a reluctant servant. He didn't want to really serve. But through him, he saved a Gentile nation, a nation that didn't even believe in the God of Judaism, through the preaching of Jonah. St. Peter was an impulsive, you know, kind of fiery guy. And through him, he made him an apostle and a preacher in the New Testament church. Martha, the sister of Mary, she was what we call a worry wart. She was worried all the time. But God used her to serve the early church and to serve him and to minister to him. And he never, you know, oftentimes we think that Martha did something bad, but he never, you know, he never criticized her or, you know, discredited what she did. All he simply said was that Mary chose the greater. But he didn't discredit what she did. So she still was somebody that, although she was a worrywart, she still served the Lord. And finally, Thomas, who was a doubter. Many of us have this struggle with doubt, but the Lord confirmed his faith, and he made him a preacher, an apostle, and he was the one that took Christianity to India. So all of these weaknesses, when we look at them, they seem to be stumbling blocks. But when we put these weaknesses in the hand of the Lord, he transformed them, these weaknesses, to be strength and to make these great servants. As we also know, all of these people that we mentioned were great servants to the Lord. So despite our weaknesses and the excuses that we might come up with, let's just put forth an honest and good effort to serve the Lord, put our weaknesses in his hand, and he will transform those weaknesses into strength and make us productive servants for his holy church and his holy name. So just as a recap, am I coming today here to seek or to serve? Seeking God is good, but it's not the end. It's just the beginning. Serving God is our assignment here on earth. He created us and saved us to serve him for this purpose. And service is not an optional deal. It's not something to do if you want to, but it's a service. It's commanded by God for all of us to participate in. And how did we say we can serve? We said we can serve by praising him and prayer, edifying one another through the assembly of the believers, coming together, whether it be in the church or any meeting, in the choir, whatever it might be, in the deacon services, gathering together, showing up. This is your service. Prayer for one another and partaking of the Eucharist. And finally, we said that this is very important, because it really doesn't matter how long we live if what we did during this lifetime wasn't beneficial and it wasn't in the way that we can convert what we have here on earth to what we need to get into heaven. May God grant us all the spirit of service and search after him and seek him and fulfill this seeking with service and glorifying His holy name and His holy church. And glory be to God forever. Amen.